Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. We're 10-8, myself and Dan Schneider. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as you guys well know, we do spiritual warfare, Catholic style. And Dan, are you 10-8, my friend?
I'm 10-8, reporting for duty, sir.
All right. Dan, you and I live in the Southwest, and so that's our world, okay? There's 50 states in the U.S., but you and I, we've lived in the Southwest. I've lived in the Southwest all my life, and you've lived in the Southwest most of your life. Both of us are involved in spiritual warfare in our independent spheres on planet Earth. And I just wrote a book. It's called The Devil in the City of Angels, where in the book, it's been my experience that a lot of the diabolical that we're dealing with when I was in California, I've been here in Phoenix, Arizona for four years. But when I was in California, a lot of the diabolical, witchcraft, occult, a lot of that, I was always scratching my head and wondering, okay, where does all this come from? Where does it come from? And I've always kind of known it comes from south of the border, but there's an article that I've been saving for a while. I've been wanting to talk to you about it, where I've been told by family members where it comes from Mexico. They said, Jesse, it comes from Veracruz. I said, okay, well, and somebody sent me this article a while back ago that says that a lot of this is like the Olympic training center for Satanists, witches, and occultists. It's in Catemoc, Veracruz, Mexico. And it's not a coincidence that it's in Veracruz, because Veracruz means true cross. And according to tradition, this is where Hernando Cortes from the Conquistadores from Spain, when they came to the New World, they got off the boats, they had a cross, and he planted it. He stuck it right on the beach of Veracruz and claimed the entire Americas for Christ. And so it's not a coincidence, I think, that the devil has chosen this location, which was dedicated to Jesus Christ by Hernando Cortes 500 years ago. The devil's trying to take back this territory. Dan, I send you this article. Give me your overview of the article. First of all, when I read it, I was praying throughout the whole article and making the sign of the cross and doing binding prayers. In fact, Dan, can you lead us in a binding prayer right now?
Yeah, this is not my book, Father Ripperker's book. It's a great book for spiritual warfare prayers. It takes all the pressure off of me. And so this is from the opening of the book. There's a good binding prayer. In his name and by the power of his cross and blood, I ask Jesus to bind any evil spirits, forces, and powers of the earth, air, fire, or water, of the netherworld, and satanic forces of nature. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by his authority, I ask Jesus Christ to break any curses, hexes, or spells and send them back to where they came from, if it be his holy will. I beseech thee, Lord Jesus, to protect us by pouring thy precious blood upon us, which thou hast shed for us. And I ask thee to command that any departing spirits leave quietly without disturbance and go straight to thy cross to dispose of as thou seest fit. I ask thee to bind any and all demonic interaction, interplane communications. I place Jesse and myself, our work in the radio apostolate, and all of our equipment under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed for us. Amen. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Deliverance prayers for the use of the laity. So, good book.
Mine is a little newer than yours, Dan. It's not as well worn as yours, but I'm getting there.
You got to get to work on this trooper, because you got to get it worn out. I'm gonna wear it out and get myself to heaven. I'm gonna, this is a warfare. You know what I mean? We gotta get busy.
Okay, talk to me. You read the article. Was it kind of an eye-opening article? Did you know the exact location from where all this is being exported to the U.S.? Did you have an idea it was Mexico, specifically Veracruz? Was this a revelation for you?
No, we've known that the stuff is coming up from down there, even following in the secular news. Even this might sound silly, but in the secular news, when Mexico played Germany in World Cup soccer – All the witches and warlocks beneath the leading warlock, witch in Mexico got together, cursed the German team, and guaranteed Mexican victory, which was unbelievable because for soccer fans, there's no way Mexico should beat Germany, number one or number two team in the world. And they beat them. So it might seem irrelevant, a silly, cute little story. Every full moon equinox, all the witches in the United States are coming together to curse our president and anyone in his administration. We're seeing an increased diabolical activity. In the border states, we're seeing a lot of it coming up through the border. Santa Muerte is being used by the cartels to for spiritual cover protection. So. Yeah, so it's not surprising at all watching this ritual whatsoever.
Dan, I call this, when I read the article, I call this a satanic pipeline. You know what I'm saying? It's a satanic pipeline from Mexico specifically to the Southwest because other parts of the country have their other occult diabolical problems. And I think we talked a little bit before the show, when a country becomes post-Christian, when a country rejects their Christian roots, those parts of the country, what happens is those people start reverting back to their pagan roots. Now, in the Southwest, we have a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Mexicans. And so as a result of a lot of them not having had that encounter with Christ, that metanoia, that well-formed mind, the catechesis, not being formed doctrinally, as a result of that, a lot of Hispanics, i.e., especially Mexicans, are reverting back to pagan practices. You were telling me the same thing occurs amongst Caucasians, because a lot of there's again amongst a lot of Caucasian Catholics, they're also their culture is also post-Christian. A lot of them are reverting back to practices from paganism, like cutting themselves. That's huge in the Caucasian community with young people. Or the god Thor. Talk a little bit about the fact that if you don't find Christ, you're going to go back to your roots, which oftentimes, for all of us, they're pagan.
Right. All of us are pagan roots. We all are members, except for our Jewish Christian brothers. All of us are Goyim. All of us are from the Gentile nations. All of us come from those roots. And so these countries that were Christianized, if you look at the article in Mexico, apart from some of the more modern satanic things involved, what they're talking about, the beating heart, pulling out the heart, the beating heart of a live, just killed, sacrificed animal. This is a description of what was taking place when Our Lady of Guadalupe showed up in Mexico and converted Mexico for Christ. There's another good article. It's really more about what's happening to liturgy and why men are being driven away from the church or turned off by the church because this effeminization of the church. And this guy, this priest is a chaplain in Canada. Well, in Canada, the article is entitled something to do with the fascination of Thor. And so we see Thor, the god of thunder, the son of God, whatever, is a pre-Christian notion that Nordic peoples from Europe had. And now all these soldiers in northern up in Canada, they're growing their beards out and they're showing a fascination with Thor. As we become post-Christian, for another example, we see in cases across the country, a large number of young Caucasian girls cut themselves. This pattern of cutting on the arm. And often it's a phenomenon de facto, and it goes back to Celtic rituals. So young women have these ancestral memories, these ancestral backgrounds from the Ireland and England in particular. Well, Ireland more because it's more Celtic. The English are Anglo-Saxon, but nonetheless, from that part of the world where their bloodline comes through, we're seeing a reversion back to those pagan ways. So it's not surprising when we see this article in Mexico performing animal sacrifices, not unlike the way Our Lady of what was happening when Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego at Tepeyac centuries ago.
Dan, and it's pretty obvious that whoever took the photographs of this article, obviously they did it with permission because they're right up against the Satanists, they're right up against the shamans and stuff. And I have no doubt, because you could just see by the pictures how cavalier, how accustomed they are to doing this. When the cameras aren't rolling, it's more than animals that are being sacrificed there. You know what I'm saying? The only reason we only see animal sacrifices in this article is because these Satanists gave permission for the press, for this journalist to come in here and take some pictures and write a piece on them. But without a doubt, take the cameras away, take the cell phones away, and I'm sure there's human sacrifice going on here in Catemaco, Veracruz, Mexico. Dan, why would the enemy expose themselves like this? Generally, they want to stay in the shadows. They want to stay, you know, under the brush. But this article is the complete expose. I mean, it shows, you know, the rituals, the rites, dancing, you know, there's solemn oaths. Why was it a slip up? Why would you think? Because this is the stuff when you share with people, they say, ah, man, you're crazy. What are you talking about, Jess? You know what, man? I hear the Twilight Zone when you talk about stuff like this. Well, this article, it's everybody's worst nightmare. If you ever thought this was real, it is real. This art. Why would you think the diabolical allowed himself to be exposed like this?
Well, why would any enemy allow themselves to be seen unless they have the full confidence that nothing's going to happen? Okay. If you read the article, it's not saying this is unreal. We must return to our knees and beg God's forgiveness for this blasphemy and sacrilege that's taking place. What we're getting is, wow, this is very curious. Wow, this is weird. The enemy is emboldened right now, and they're becoming in your face, all the way from children's toys up to this and everything in the spectrum in between. We've been desensitized.
Hold on, hold that thought, Dan. We'll be Jesus 911, two man car. We'll be back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, 10-8. On duty, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, serving the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we're under the command of St. Michael the Archangel. I've got Dan Schneider here. And we're looking at an article. I've looked at it before, but I wanted to get Dan's analysis. It's a very disturbing article. It's called, the article is put out by the Daily Mail. It says the blood pump from a still beating heart is the purest form of energy inside the horrific Mexican Satanist black mass with life sacrifices that shock disgusted tourists. Then I asked you why you think the devil would allow this to be exposed, and you said something that's makes sense to me. You said he's not even threatened at this point because the article is not an article that's calling people to conversion. It's not an article calling people to repentance and calling people to the foot of the cross. It's basically an article just, hey, man, check this out. This is kind of cool. Look what's happening over here. Who knows? This actually may be a promo piece for Satanists. For people that are low-information Catholics or low-information Americans, they may say, wow, this is different, man. I want to check this out. Hey, how can I go there next year? And so you're actually right. This may be a recruitment piece. See, I'm thinking that as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a soldier of Christ, I'm saying, this is macabre. This is dark. This is hideous. This is repulsive. But you're right. It's not written to try to convert people. It's written just to try to, like, hey, look what's happening over here. You want to participate? It happens once a year. I guess this would be like a recruitment piece for Satanists and witches and people who want to become involved in the occult, right?
Yeah, this is the be all you can be video, you know, showing the aircraft landing on the aircraft and showing the guys jumping out of airplanes. This is a recruitment video, and it draws people in because of their curiosity. We become curious about the satanic. We become little by little numb to it. Culturally, we're the frog in water. And so even professing Christians don't even recognize – they recognize this is radically evil, but they don't recognize the other things. Going back to something you said earlier, I can give you multiple examples. But a young woman who I know she's a Latina, Hispanic, Mexican descent, and she's practicing witchcraft, low-level stuff, right? Sacramentals, huevo cleaning and limones and these other sorts of crystals and these other things. When asked, why are you doing this? You're Catholic. She said she voiced what I've been saying. I'm Mexican, and this is part of my culture. So we're seeing a return to that. Now, it's not just the Mexican immigrants. Again, the Midwest, we see where there's Celtic, you see a lot of cutting among young Anglo girls and suburban Anglo girls. We have teams all over the country. We have priests all over the country that Libre Cristo works with. You know, one priest I know in Louisiana, they've got a whole different set of spiritual stuff there they're dealing with that's different. But this article focuses on Mexico. And so we're seeing this again. And also at the lower levels, you have what we talked about, what I just discussed with this young woman in her 20s, leaving Catholicism and entering paganism. At the low level, what you have is these are the people, you know, the palm readers and other things. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, right? On the diabolic side. So the orberias, you're getting cursed scents and incense and these other things and potions. For healing or love potions, etc. But as you progress downward or upward or wherever your vision is, it becomes more and more sacramental, meaning not just the use of matter to convey as agency for the conveyance of the other or the supernatural, as we know as holy water, sacramentals. We should all be wearing we should all consecrate ourselves to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, wear the sacramentals. It becomes more and more liturgical. So what you witness in this article is a complete liturgical mockery of Christ's redemptive sacrifice, the true Lamb of God. And so instead of the Lamb of God, where they offer animal sacrifice and then even human sacrifices in the darkest circles. But at the lower levels, what we see is people dabble with this stuff. And these people have made a pact. They've sold their soul to the devil by exchanging this or that spiritual good that they're looking for. If you notice, though, most people in the article were already occultic. They're already low level. I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Right.
Occult members. And they wanted to get more power. And that's how it works. So unless you sacrifice animals and get live blood, there's a big difference between the low level guys and the very powerful guys. Think of a Trappist. How many Trappist hermits have you seen? How many Benedictine abbots or monks have you seen? You don't see these guys very much because they're deep within the bowels of the church. Same thing here, but the more power you get, again, blood. If without the shed of blood, there is no sacrifice. It says there's no forgiveness of sins.
Hebrews 9:22.
Right. So the power is in the blood, because the blood of God, the blood of Christ saved us. And therefore, the diabolic inversion of that and the power that is conveyed to those who commit these sacrifices. Even I hate to bring this back up again, but even the Pachamama nonsense that we endured last fall, making small sacrifices, of drink, herbs, whatever, is just a substitute for animal sacrifice. In this particular culture in the Andes, it started with human sacrifice. And so they're not going to expose that now and show that, because they would bring law enforcement on them, but they're going to show this other stuff. What another interesting point too, two interesting points. They had a big mockery of Christ, right? A human form of Beelzebub with an erection.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
With an erection.
Wow.
Right? And nobody mentions, by the way, that the Pachamama stuff, there was discarded on the side of Pachamama was another statue of another pagan deity with an erection, right? These are all fertility garbage that's being pagan stuff that's being reintroduced to our culture because we are now officially post-Christian. So, which I found very interesting, again, a complete mockery of Christ's sacrifice. This is blasphemy at the highest level.
That's right. Dan, the Catechism says in paragraph 28, I'm reading, it says that man is a religious being. I think this is why it's so easy for the occult, the diabolical witchcraft, to take low-information Catholics, low-hanging-fruit Catholics, and recruit them into these quasi-religions, because all of us do have a religious sense, a religious being. We're drawn to the spiritual. And if you don't find the one true God and the one true faith, which is the Catholic Church, you're going to fall for a cheap imitation. You know, I think it was Chesterton that said, a man who doesn't stand for something will fall for anything. So if you don't stand for Christ and his church and his gospel, because as the Catechism says, we are religious beings, you are going to be drawn to something if you're not grounded in Christ. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Two thoughts come to mind. One is, I remember during the year of the priest, I forget what year it was, and the Curé des Arts was the patron saint that year. We celebrated the priesthood back in Pope John Paul's pontificate. One of the quotes that came out that he had said, that most people don't know the Curé, you know, he was France and he's a patron saint of priests, parish priest, etc. He says, if you remove the parish priest from the village in 10 years, maybe it was 20, they will be worshiping the beasts. And I remember hearing that 15 years ago, thinking, this is just harsh. This must have, this is just clericalism at its best, whatever. I joke about that. I know. He's absolutely correct. This is a saint of the church, the patron saint of parish priests. You remove the priest, you remove the cross of Christ, you remove the bells, you remove the sacrifice of Christ, you remove the Eucharist. And they revert. We all revert as culture. We revert back to our pagan roots, and this is what we're seeing all over the country. Now, one of the things we discussed on Harry Potter, and another thing came up. There's a new Lego game that's diabolic. I actually did a little research to make sure I'm not going off the rails myself. There's an image on the internet of using these little Lego features set up in a circle with an altar in the middle, emulating a black mass for our 5-year-olds to play with. This is diabolic. At a time, the reason I'm opposed to this stuff and Harry Potter and these other things, it isn't that they're not interesting stories. When a child is most open, man, as it says in the Catechism, is homo religiosus. Man is a religious, a spiritual being. We desire God, union with God. We have a hunger for the supernatural. We are not made for this earth. We are made for heaven. And when we introduce cultic spirituality, fake spirituality, what it does is, worst case is, it draws us into the diabolic. And so now we're become practicing witches in our 20s, as we see some of these new young witches.
Yeah.
But also it draws us, best case is, it just draws us away from God. And we fill that spiritual void with garbage and not with authentic Catholic spirituality. These are the ages, these young people, these are the ages when they hear the voice of God, when they're drawn to God in prayer, this is when Therese hears, she makes her first communion, she hears her vocation to religious life, and we're stuffing garbage into the spiritual ears of our children by letting this garbage into our home so they can no longer hear the voice of God, and everything becomes this blurry gray. The devil's favorite color is gray. It likes this gray area because most people can just get lost in the mist of this grayness and never see the black and white. When we see this article of Satanism being practiced, it's like, oh yeah, that's real stuff. But how many Catholics go today and say, I don't believe any of that stuff. I don't buy this stuff. This is all just hocus pocus. This is Dan and Jesse, a couple of wackos gone off the rails. They're just, how many low information Catholics don't even believe in the presence of the devil? But the Catechism clearly states, from the beginning of man's creation, he has been engaged in dour combat with the evil one. And we're seeing it now, and the enemy's just becoming emboldened, completely emboldened.
Yeah,
as the church weakens.
Exactly. As the church weakens, and he has all the levers of power, media, politics, judges, universities, Hollywood, big pharma, corporate America. Let me share one thing you said about, you mentioned St. John Vianney, the cure of ours. Let me share three sentences from Father John Perricone. He's a professor of philosophy in New Jersey. He's a friend of mine. He said to me this. He wrote, he says, the priest as Hercules, that's the name of the article. He wrote this. No one was more Hercules than the cure of ours. St. John Mary Vianney, this 19th century saint, never left his parish of Ars, France. All he did was offer mass, hear confessions, and teach the catechism. Of course, that's like saying all that MacArthur and Patton did was defeat the Axis powers. St. John Vianney engaged men at the only place that matters, the battlefield of their souls. He helped them conquer their sins and so helped them to be men again. No joy compares to that joy. In another time, that is the only kind of priest the world knew. And the world was much more richer with priests like St. John Vianney when they strode the earth. How much poorer it is without them, how much more dangerous. Good reflection on him. When you mentioned him, I said, oh, I'm going to grab that quote because he sent it to me a few days ago. Dan, the pictures, just warning anybody, if you want to get the article, you can read it. Go to jesseromero.com or virginmostpowerful.org. You can get the article. It's disgusting. Say a prayer before you read it. In fact, as I skim through it, I just make the sign of the cross and call upon the blood of Jesus to protect me. But we'll continue talking about this with Dan Schneider. I got some more comments that I want to make, and I want to get his reflections on the pipeline that's coming from Veracruz, Mexico, to the Southwest. This is what I call, the satanic Olympic team. We'll be back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today. For Adoremus at the Triduum. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man card. Jess and Dan, we're talking about the pipeline, the satanic pipeline coming into the Southwest. You can see that in Botanicas. You can see that in the barrios here in the Southwest. I lived in California most of my life. I've been here in Phoenix, Arizona for 4 years. I see the same thing out here in the barrios. The infiltration of Satanism and witchcraft and all the occult that's coming from South America. Specifically, it's been demonstrated that it's coming from Veracruz, Mexico. And all of this, as St. Augustine has said 1,600 years ago, that Satan tries to ape God, A-P-E, ape, you know, it's like a monkey, tries to ape God. And the devil knows that the true and the purest form of worship to God on planet Earth, it's the Catholic Mass. He knows that. And this is why we see in these, I would call this a satanic training camp, Demp. I don't know about you. It's like, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like a satanic training camp, you know, how to perfect your craft. But the point that I want to make is that the Black Mass is a mockery and the reversal of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And let's not forget that the Bible says that Satan is like a lion. 1 Peter 5:8, like a lion. But the Bible says about Jesus in Revelation 5:5, Jesus is the lion.
Good point. So
in other words, Satan's a fake lion. Jesus is the real thing. He's the real not the king of the jungle, the king of the universe. Then I want to go back and just ask you about some of the things that we find in this article. Very disturbing. What's this thing with these young girls that they have there in this ritual? Why would they recruit such young girls at such a young age to be part of this? What's their part in this ritual?
Well, they also recognize the power of virginity. Again, it's a mockery of consecrated life. I've taught this in different various classes and conferences. And I've seen this firsthand. Okay, so this isn't just speculation. It's speculation based on observation. Because I've been in full sessions, and when the demon manifests, the demon instinctively recognizes the difference between it recognizes flesh that is carnal, right? The married person. Regardless of your holiness, whatever your position there with the church, the diocese, it recognizes you as just a meat sack, a Gumby doll. You know, that doesn't you're a non-threat. You're annoying a non-threat. It sees us differently than it sees the priest. The priest it sees as an anointed warrior of God. The demon sees the priest and fears. It does not fear you and me, but it looks at the virgin consecrated in a wholly different way than it does when it sees us. So virginity, there is power in virginity. And we know this. We know this. This is why the assault against celibacy taking place in the church right now. There's power in virginity and consecrated celibacy. There's power in that. And this is why we need to stand by the tradition of the Western church and reject any married priesthood, et cetera, because it will diminish the power that God pours out. Christ himself had virginal flesh. He was born of a virgin, right? John the apostle, the greatest apostle, is called John the Virgin, right? In his liturgical prayers. And so the demon recognizes this. And so so the use of virgins and the flowering of virgins and sexual abuse, et cetera, is part of the satanic rituals. We shouldn't even really give these guys any more discussion than they deserve. These are very, very, very sick and diabolic people militating against all that is good and holy in this world. And the fact that it made a mainstream newspaper that people can go read is very, very disturbing for us.
It is. That's what I was going to say. It's disturbing. To me, it seems like it's kind of a recruitment tool, because some people that are not plugged into truth are going to be fascinated by this. They're going to get on some websites. They're going to say, hey, how do I sign up for next year's conference and stuff? And I'd like to get some power. Because if you notice, in reading the article, everybody that is interviewed there, and they ask them, so why did you come? You'll hear them basically say, because I wanted power.
I wanted power.
It's exactly. It's just for power.
Right.
What do you hear? I want power. And that's what John the Apostle talks about. It's in 1 John chapter 2, forget which verses, where he says that, you know, the three ways that the devil attacks the human person. He says, you know, the pride of life, and one is also the lust for power.
But what does St. Paul say? The cross is power. The gospel is power, right? When Paul equates the gospel and the cross of Christ with power, if you want power in your life, you need the gospel. You need to know Jesus Christ. If you've ever had kids tinkering around your home, what happens when you're a foot higher than the outlet plug in your wall, right? And you got a fork in a toddler's hand and an outlet and a power outlet in the wall. Where does the fork always end up? In the power outlet, right? So the gospel, when St. Paul describes the power of the cross, the power of the gospel, he uses this word, dunamis, power, the same power that you experience when you take a fork, a metal fork, and you stick it into an outlet in the wall. You're going to notice power. You're going to feel power. You're going to experience power. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. We were created for Christ. We were created not just spiritual. Our hunger and thirst was made to be conformed in Christ. And when we reject Christ, we will still search for power elsewhere. But that power is going to come in diabolic forms. And when the demon recognizes this is a guy that's got a thirst for power, that's filled with fear and overcomes his fear through worldly power using supernatural means, he's got an active participant, and he's got somebody that's going to spread that dark power throughout the world. And this is what we're seeing again and again and again. And what the danger too is the syncretism that's taking place, that we have Catholic cultures now that are introducing these elements instead of Christ the power, instead of the sacraments as power. We're getting a blending of the diabolic and the Catholic. And we see this in some of these island religions, and we're seeing it now in some of the stuff that's coming in from Mexico. So you're absolutely correct. They all said the same thing. They want power. They want power, whether it's power to wield over others or power to stop this or that activity or power to have a happy marriage, etc. Ultimately, the cross is our power. And every case that comes to us, every single case that's been involved with the diabolic, it's the avoidance of the cross. It's the power of the cross.
Starophobia.
Right. It's starophobia. They're afraid of suffering. It's through fear of suffering. So I seek a quick fix through the diabolic or the occult. And that's where the cases always end up. They have a fear of the cross, and so they dabble in the occult to overcome a disability, to overcome a bad marriage, the loneliness of not being married, so they go get a love potion. They don't want to suffer the cross of struggles with a family member and make peace. And so they curse the family member to try to get them to leave them alone. All this curse warfare stuff we see, all this is avoidance of suffering, the avoidance of the cross. But in the cross, we find our redemption. We find the power to transcend the suffering of this world. And not just that, but to use our suffering to bring about grace into the world. You want to bring fire down from heaven, suffer for others. Suffer for those who have hurt you or abused you. Suffer for your bishop. Suffer for your pastor. This is the way we're going to bring grace into the world today, by embracing the cross.
Dan, and also, if you just look at it, just even kind of on a worldly point of view, I tell people in discussions, I say, look at, let's just say you're suffering right now. Say you're blind or you got leukemia or something. It's only going to be for a little while. Okay, we're not going to be here that long. And if you offer to Christ, now you've entered into His redemptive suffering. God is going to use your suffering to bring about blessings and liberation and healings and conversions. But, you know, you can't have it both ways. In other words, the Christian life is a call to what I would call deferred gratification. If you want to have heaven now, you're going to miss it in eternity. But if you want to go to boot camp now, if you're willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll pick up my cross, like you said to do in Matthew 16, I'll carry my cross. You're going to have heaven in eternity. And so it's whatever you want to have heaven. For example, I'll just give a hypothetical. You want to be like Hugh Hefner or Epstein. You want to have heaven here on earth for 60, 70, 80 years. Women, sex, money, power, you know, prominence, popularity. All right. That'll last 50, 60, 70 years. And then you lose it at the end forever. Or would you want to have a life of, hey, you know, redemptive suffering, picking up your cross, following the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, you know what? I want to cash in at the end, okay? I want to carry this cross in this lifetime. I want my heaven on the other side. It's called deferred gratification. We got the best of both. We got the best of both worlds. I'll tell you why. Because in this world, as we enter into redemptive suffering and other sufferings with Christ, we're doing so much good to the body of Christ that we can't even see in this lifetime. We will never be able to see the people that were set free, the people that were healed, the people that were converted, the people that were blessed as a result of God taking our sufferings and pouring it upon them as actual grace. And in heaven, as Dr. Scott Hahn says, he says, the first second in heavenly life with God in Christ will make the best moments on planet Earth painful in comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul calls it this momentary light affliction. The momentary light affliction. I want to go back to something you read from the Cure de Ars, St. John Vianney. He says the power of the priesthood is to help men become men again. Mm. And I think he was referring to the execution of the sacraments. It's in the confessional that we become men again. The very word virtus, right, for virtue. In ancient Latin, this virtus, you hear the word vir, manliness, right? It meant manly courage in battle, right? And it became to know growing in the virtues of a Christian life. But it's only in being virtuous that we become powerful, true power over evil. Virtuous holiness and thought, word, and deed. This is where we conquer the evil one in our lives. And to the extent that we lack virtue in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, we have vulnerabilities to the evil one in our spiritual life. A second point on manhood. St. Ignatius of Antioch, he was a disciple of John. He was martyred probably before John the Apostle himself had been killed. He was writing letters, he wrote seven letters that we have to different churches as he's being taken to Rome to be thrown into the lions and was martyred there. 106 AD, he said, I'll start with this when we come back.
Got it. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess and Dan, Soul Patrol giving you some Catholic briefing, Catholic intel. Put all this in your war bag. Go out there, teach people to love God, save souls, and slay error.
Hands on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, 10-8. We are two high-information Catholics that love the Lord, love Our Lady, and are under the tutelage, under the patronage of St. Michael the Archangel. Dan, we're talking about an article. It's a dark article about the pipeline of Satanism to the Southwest. And you were making some thoughts about the cure of ours. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so the curator said something about it's I make men become men again. To be virtuous is to be human. And the only way we grow in virtue is through suffering, through little mortifications, through offering up. And I've seen it again and again and again. There's always more dealing with people that are obsessed or possessed with the diabolic. There's always an element of unforgiveness, of there, oftentimes there's something they cannot let go. But when I can convince them, and over time through the grace of God, they can offer their suffering up for the person who perhaps molested them, an ancestral relationship that they had, whatever. If they can start offering their suffering up, particularly for their abuser, it breaks the hold of the diabolic. But this is what St. Ignatius of Antioch said. Remember, this guy was a disciple of John. He was placed into Antioch by John himself. And he says, do not stop me. Do not stop me. Try to prevent my martyrdom, because then I shall become a man. It's only in martyrdom, it's only in the gift of self that a man truly becomes a man, a human man, when he learns to give up himself, when he learns to die to oneself.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's where manhood, true manhood is.
And
that's where power is.
Satanism is the ultimate form of witchcraft, of wimpiness, of effeminacy, of being a fete, because it's like, I don't want to suffer. Give me power. Please give me power. What do I have to do? I don't want to suffer. I'm having bad fortune. I'm having a bad marriage. It's the ultimate act of effeminacy, or being a sissy, running to Satanists, yeah, or running to witchcraft. What prayer was it that you deployed in the beginning of the show? I've got my book here.
You know what? It's on the very first, once you get through the introduction on power and authority.
I got it here.
The very first, second prayer, prayer of command.
Oh, okay. Prayer of command. Got it. I'm going to start using that for every show. I love it.
Yeah, that's a good prayer to pray. If you're a school teacher, pray that prayer before your classroom. Pray it in your office. You have authority. We have spiritual authority in our locus where we are. So that's a great prayer to pray. I don't pray that for – I'm not praying it for the world, because I'm not a bishop, or I'm not the pope. But I can pray it for our area, because we have spiritual authority over where we are right now. Amen. When you mentioned a good point too. When you're looking on stuff on the internet, be careful of curiosity. Looking at this satanic stuff, because it's very curious and it's like, oh, what does this mean? And it's gotta be careful of that, because the demon will draw you in. So you did the same thing I did. When I read the article, as soon as I saw some of those images, I'm binding any demon associated in the name of Jesus, exactly, et cetera. Be careful.
Yeah, right.
Just in case this stuff is cursed, and perhaps they put a curse on it, that anybody that looks at it in curiosity, it will receive part of the curse. So you just have to be very, very careful of what we're looking at on the internet. There's some nasty, nasty stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. Dan, go to my website, jesseromero.com, and click on my blog. If you have your laptop there, go to Jesse.
Yeah.
I want you to – I'm going to make on my blog today. Go to jesseromero.com, click on blog. I posted why does the devil possess people? I'm just going to read that, then I want you to interact with with what I put there. I put this from Father Thomas Eitenauer, from a book that was it's no longer being published. I wish it would come back into circulation, but here's what it says. He was asked, there are three main reasons why the devil tries to possess human bodies. He says, the first reason he possesses bodies is malice. Simply said, the devil enjoys causing people pain and sorrow, which is part of every demon's scheme of self-aggrandizement and control over humans. When a demon enters a person's body, he causes significant interior chaos, hoping to eventually cause the person to despair of God's mercy and reject God's grace. Two, the second reason for possession is envy. Here the devil attempts to play the part of the human soldier of the body. He's supremely jealous of God's love for man and seeks to ape the incarnation of Christ. The New Testament writings of St. John witness that the eternal Word united with human flesh and became visible to man. The devil knows that the union of God with man is the central mystery of our faith, and in his envy, he tries to create his own false version of this union as if to say, I can be visible too. However, the devil can never be truly united with flesh. He can penetrate it, pierce it, and violate it, but he's incapable of uniting respectfully with the flesh of man in the way that God and his Holy Spirit can. The third reason for possession is pride. Since the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the devil wants to violate and pollute and claim it for his own. The Holy Spirit rightfully indwells therein, so the devil, called a transgressor by the ritual, enters in and attempts to claim ownership to defile the holy temple where God dwells. When the devil was cast out of heaven, he wanted a temple of his own to glorify himself, but hell isn't much of a temple. He thus tries to steal something that belongs to God and make it his own. If God did not assign a guardian angel to each of us, perhaps no one's temple would ever be safe from the defiling presence of the devil. Dan, anything you want to add to that? Any comments? Anything you just want to just...
First one you mentioned, chaos. What most people don't understand, when you begin to work with people that are heavily afflicted, in Scripture, what it says that they were afflicted by demons, that Jesus healed those afflicted. The Greek word is an interesting word. It's cognate with the word for crowd, like a big crowd. Imagine being in New York City at the bell drop when there's a million people standing there crowding you in, and you have this constant sense of being suffocated, and you can't get out, and a panic starts to come over you. We've all experienced these things. This is what the diabolic – What the person who is possessed or heavily obsessed on the road to possession, this is their experience. They experience this crowding out, projection of demonic voices. Oftentimes we'll see cases and they're constantly listening to music on their headphones to drown out the interior locutions, diabolic projections of voices. That is a significant way to understand the way they are their own experience and the mercy that we have to extend to them to try to help them find some interior freedom. But that's one thing that I would like to add, because people don't understand. They think it's all great and good. All the people that are participating in these rituals, like in this article, when they don't, even if they live fully their commitment to Satan, even if they live it fully, they will suffer. And to the extent that they try to get out, they will experience tremendous demons. The demons are not going to let them go. We see this in the case of famous people who have made pacts for the devil and want to get out. They can't get out because they've made a pact. Only then, when you make an institutional reliance, or when there's an institutional liturgical element, there must be a response by the institutional liturgical church, the Catholic Church, where the authority of Christ is.
So you can't take the Billy Bob Baptist deliverance minister?
No, healing? Not when there's institutional element. We had a case recently. A guy calls me, different part of the world. He called me and said, grandma called. Her son is trying to get out of Satanism. And I said, well, how's it going? Well, I prayed over him and he wouldn't leave. And the Bible says I have authority and I'm his grandmother and I've adopted him. And I have full authority and the demon still won't leave. I said, well, put the kid on. The kid gets on. Well, what did I? Well, I joined the satanic church and I did some rituals, but now I don't want it anymore. And then grandma grabs a phone and I told the demon to get out in the name of Jesus. The demon looked at me and says, you better call a Catholic priest. I'm stuck here until you call a Catholic priest. And this is a Baptist, a devout Baptist woman. And I said, well, how did that make you feel? She said, well, it was a little scary, but here I am. So I called. So somehow I got a hold of you. So yeah, the demon knows. The demon was stuck there. The demon was being pounded by this grandmother's prayers, but he cannot leave because of the liturgical element. This guy was into liturgical Satanism. There must be a requisite response liturgically in justice. And oftentimes we see cases stuck. The church will step in and respond liturgically, and that's what's needed in this particular case.
Wow. Dan, what about the second thing that Father Aitner gives? The second reason for possession is envy. Make some comments on that.
Well, absolutely. The scripture says it was for out of envy the devil fell. non servum, the words of Satan that we glean from reading typologically or allegorically, reading the prophecy, I think it's Ezekiel, we will not serve. I will not serve a God that takes the form of lower than us. When God took the form of man, every angel was given their role within the mystical body to serve God as man incarnate. And when Lucifer fell, he says, non servium, I will not serve a God that takes a form lower than me. And so that is envy. And at the root of that envy is the root of the fall. And so it's out of envy of man. It's out of envy of man that the demon wants to, and to punish God in his mind, to take possession of God's children. Remember also on envy, Thomas Aquinas says, the angelic doctor of the church, says that suffering, going back to our last segment, suffering is the envy of angels, that we can, in our bodies, enter into the bodily suffering of the incarnate God, and in Colossians 1:24, unite our suffering with the suffering of Christ. The angels envy that as disembodied beings. It's a fascinating thing when you really think about it, the power of it.
Dan, final comments on the dangers of a low information Catholic participating in something that we saw in Veracruz that happens every single year. I mean, what if somebody says, I just want to go check it out. I'm just kind of curious. I'm not really into it. I think these guys are stupid. I'm just going to go with my iPhone, snap some pictures and kind of fake it. What would you say to somebody who's even curious about going to something like that for a look and see session?
Yeah, mortify it. Mortify it, because by walking in, let me ask you this. Let's say I wanted to go visit you in East LA, right? And I decided to go for a little stroll through the barrio, right? Well, what happens when I walk through the wrong neighborhood? What happens to me? Mostly my face and my ribs.
Where are you from? Hey,
where are you from? What are you doing here? You got no business here. I gave privileges, right, for them. I confronted them. I don't belong there. I'm in the wrong neighborhood. Same thing when a Christian goes in, they recognize the mark of Christ there, and now it's game on. You have given us privileges to come and enter and to afflict you. The demons, even watching the videos, the demons are going to come back. If you're doing it out of curiosity in particular, the demon's going to come back, and you just give an entry point into him. Stay away from this stuff. Treat it like you would a brood of snakes. Would you walk into a hospital room when you know that there's a leper in there? Would you walk in there with no protection whatsoever, out of curiosity? I want to see what it looks like, to see what a leper looks like. No way. I'm not risking leprosy just to see what a leper looks like. So avoid this stuff. Spend time focusing on the Virgin, looking at images of the Virgin Mary. Look at images of her as you pray the rosary. Read scripture on all that is good, all that is holy, all that is pure. That's what St. Paul says that we should focus our minds on. And don't even give credence to these people.
Amen. Dan, looks like we're 10-7, dude. Out of service.
All right, brother.
We'll continue this next time. Good job. Thanks a lot for being our sharpshooter, our specialist on Wednesdays. You're listening to Jesus 911 Two-Man Car. We're 10-7. We're out. You're going to hear Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, black belt in apologetics. Stay tuned. Up next, Gary Machuda.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.